Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Factory Reset Podcast. This is the third of a series of episodes on what Jesus commanded concerning love for enemies, or what you could call gospel nonviolence. Before moving on from the example Jesus left us, which is what I was talking about in the last episode, I want to say a few things about Jesus cleansing the temple. This is the one story in the Gospels that people can point to in order to attempt to make some kind of case for Christians using violence, using the example of Jesus. Jesus turns over the tables of the money changers. He drives people and animals out of the temple. He has a whip. We're not sure if he used the whip on people or only on the animals. In fact, we don't know for sure if he actually whipped anyone or anything at all. John's Gospel is the one which mentions the whip, and the actual Greek only implies that he used it on the sheep and the goats, but it's possible that he used it on people. The text doesn't say that he didn't. And then Mark's Gospel tells us that after he's cleansed the temple and got all those people out of there, he will not allow anyone to bring anything through the temple. And how would Jesus accomplish that? Did he maybe have some of his disciples armed and guarding the entrance? Did he occupy the temple by force using weapons? It at least sounds like Jesus could have gotten violent in the temple, depending on what you read into the account. If you're looking for some way to justify violence, and if you don't really think about the rest of Jesus' example and what we already know of him, then you'll read a lot into this story that isn't actually in the text. Because you can imagine this scene playing out in different ways. You can imagine Jesus turning over tables and driving people out of the temple without actually touching anyone, but only whipping the animals. Or you can imagine him repeatedly whipping money changers, giving them a good lashing, seriously hurting them as they cower before him on the ground. You can imagine Jesus kicking people to get them moving. And if Jesus got violent in the temple, then why can't Christians use violence to defend and protect themselves and others from injustice? All right, well, let's think about this. I have four brief points to share. Number one, what are these passages that cover the temple cleansing all about? What is the point? Is it about self-defense? Is this meant to be an instruction for us about what to do if we're attacked? Not even a little bit. That's got nothing to do with what's happening here. Jesus is not under attack in the temple. He's not using violence to protect himself or anybody else. That's completely foreign to the text. And so if you use this story to justify Christians going to war since Jesus turned over the tables, or buying a gun for protection because Jesus had a whip of cords in the temple, then you are using the text in a way the gospel writers did not intend. You are doing what's called eisegesis, and that can be a very dangerous thing. If Jesus had been under attack, or if he had engaged in armed combat, if he had killed someone to protect himself or others in the temple, then yeah, we could use the story in that way, but it's not there. Number two, why does Jesus do this? Why does he get so furious in the story to the point of causing such a scene? Well, obviously it's got nothing to do with self-defense, but it's because he has zeal for his father's house. He really cares about the way the temple is being defiled. Maybe he's also angry because of the way the poor people are being exploited there. But he really cares about his father's honor. And so it's in the temple where God is being dishonored that Jesus becomes so angry, to the point that he's ready to do something that you could call violent, depending on how you define violence. And yet throughout his ministry prior to this and after this, when Jesus' life is actually in danger, when he's in a situation when many of today's professing Christians would have armed themselves with something much more than a whip, Jesus never does. So you see that? When his father's house is dishonored, Jesus starts flipping tables. When his own life is threatened, or when he's actually attacked, Jesus doesn't arm himself. He doesn't resist. So if we want to follow Jesus' example here, if we want to be more like him, then let's make a big deal over the obvious corruption in the church, and let's be completely defenseless if and when our own lives are threatened. If your church has turned into more of a business than a community that follows Jesus, then maybe you should interrupt the next church service and rebuke the community and knock over the tables where they sell books and CDs or whatever. But if anyone ever wants to kill you or harm you, don't resist with violence, just like Jesus didn't. Now, I don't think that you should actually go and start flipping tables and knocking over furniture in your church service. I think a lot of churches deserve something like that. I think you should, if you have a church that has compromised in a certain way, there needs to be some kind of strong rebuke and warning. But what Jesus did in the temple was unique in some ways. It was a once in human history kind of thing, and it was something that really only he could do. And that brings me to the third point. How was Jesus able to do this? What was it that gave him the ability to drive everyone out who was buying and selling and all that stuff, and then keep anyone from bringing any more merchandise into the temple? How did he do that? Was it that he and his disciples were armed? Was Jesus basically holding the temple hostage by use of swords and spears? No. It was his authority. It was his influence that gave him the ability to do this. He had just come to Jerusalem being hailed as the king. Large crowds of people were following him and welcoming him, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." His mighty works and miracles are now known to the people, and his teaching has captivated many of them so that the crowds hang on his every word. So after he flips over the tables and does all this stuff, the chief priests and the scribes, they hear about it, and they want to destroy him. They want to arrest him. They want to kill him, but they can't touch him. Why not? It's not because Jesus was packing heat and ready to defend himself, and because his followers were armed and ready for battle. No, it's because, as Mark's gospel tells us, they feared him because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. Jesus' enemies couldn't do anything about what he was doing, and nobody else would either, for a similar reason to why the priests and the scribes wouldn't openly speak against John the Baptist, because the people at this point recognized Jesus as a prophet, and there's even much talk of his being the son of David. That's why he's able to do this. His whip was not a threat to anyone's life or physical well-being there in the temple. The real weapon he had was his words, his authority, his miracles, his character, his life. If some random person had tried to do this, gone into the temple swinging a whip and overturning tables and saying, "Get these animals out of here," they would have just been arrested or knocked out and taken away, and nobody would have remembered it. But when the man who's just ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey with crowds of people hailing him as king, when that man starts turning over tables and crying out, "Stop making my father's house a den of robbers," see, that's a very different thing. That actually means something. And the people in the temple, they know exactly what he's talking about. He has just put his finger on corruption and sin, that many of the people he drove out of there were probably already well aware of in their conscience. They probably knew that what he was saying was right. They just went with it. They went along with the corruption, either because they were making a profit or because it was just the way things were now and they were just going with it. But now here's this fiery, righteous prophet and strong Messiah candidate who clearly has God's favor because of the miracles he's doing. And there's massive crowds with him who think he's the king of Israel. Of course, nobody is going to get in his way. And when he says that nobody can bring anything else into the temple, nobody's going to openly challenge that. Especially since many of them know that he's right. Many of them have probably thought about the corruption that was going on in the temple, but nobody had yet had the conviction or the courage or the authority to do something about it. And so that's why his enemies can't do anything about Jesus cleansing the temple. They can only try to question him. They ask him by what authority he's doing these things. They have to try to trap him in something he might say, but they can't arrest him or kill him like they want to at this point. It's not because they fear his whip or because they know he's violent and armed and that he's told his disciples to kill anyone who might try to kill him or them. It's because they see his influence. Okay, moving on to the fourth point here. What did Jesus actually do in the temple? There may be a sense in which he was violent, turning over a table and scattering a bunch of coins while yelling. That seems a bit violent in a way. Waving a whip around at people, whipping animals, maybe whipping people as they scatter. That could be seen as violent. Again, it depends on how you define violence. By a certain definition, yeah, Jesus is being violent here. But consider these questions. What kind of violence is this? Is this lethal violence? Is this serious violence? Is this the kind of violence that goes on between rival gangs or prison inmates? Is this the kind of violence that goes on when nations go to war or when a bar fight breaks out? Is this the kind of violence that Christians who buy guns for the purpose of self-protection are intending to engage in if someone threatens them? Does Jesus break bones here? Does he put people in the hospital? Does he throw anyone up against a wall and break their nose or knock out their teeth with his fists? Does he stick a sword in anyone? Does he attempt to do anything like that to anyone? Is anyone's life or well-being in jeopardy because of what Jesus is doing with the temple, with flipping over tables and the whip? Of course not. That's ridiculous. It may be a certain kind of mild violence that isn't going to seriously hurt or kill anyone. It's nothing like the kind of violence that many who claim to be Christians have in mind today when they purchase a pistol and keep it under their jacket or in their glove compartment or in their closet. And their intention is to shoot someone if they feel the need to. That's a whole different category from what Jesus does in the temple. There isn't a hint of that kind of thing in what Jesus did there. Even if he did smack a bunch of people with his whip of cords, which the text doesn't even say that he did. And to buy a gun for self-defense and then compare that to what Jesus did in the temple is a pretty desperate move. And consider this. Jesus drove people out of the temple, yes. But people can be driven out of a place without being touched. Police sometimes drive crowds of people out of an area without ever touching them. Farmers drive their animals in one direction or another without having to touch them. The Holy Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness. Jesus drives demons out of people in the Gospels without touching them. My point is that Driving people out of an area could involve physical force. It could, but it might not. There's nothing inherently violent about driving out. It doesn't necessarily require physical contact. And if someone has a certain kind of authority, like Jesus had, and if the people they want to drive out of a place recognize that, they see that, then that person won't necessarily have to raise a finger to get people to move. Words may very well be enough. And if someone like that is swinging a whip around and yelling and knocking tables over, then people may move very quickly without having to be touched. And that's just the kind of authority Jesus had at the temple after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But no matter how you slice it, whether Jesus whipped people or not, there's nothing here in this passage to latch onto in order to justify Christians killing people in self-defense or going to war for an earthly nation. It is not there. Okay, well, in the next episode, I plan to discuss some foundational principles. Moving on from the example of Jesus, I'm going to discuss some foundational principles and simple teachings that Jesus has given to us. These things do not teach nonviolence explicitly. They cover a wide range of life and different areas of life. But if you think seriously about what they teach, what they mean, especially when coupled with how Jesus lived, they are extremely difficult, if not impossible, to harmonize with a teaching that says that Christians can kill or use violence in self-defense. Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you. And please send me a message if you would like to talk.